Grace you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The bus ride seemed endless. Out of the city as the sun was rising, I was sitting by the window in a very crowded bus, and I was watching as we passed villages and shanties, one stop after another, and gradually the villages started to kind of become less and less. They were less frequent, and the bus found its way out onto a stretch of the Indian countryside. And at some point, I spotted what I correctly guessed was our destination. It was a bunch of small buildings, just like any other, and there they were. The people that filled the buildings looked just like the people that filled all the other buildings that we had passed, and they were, with one exception, all of them had leprosy. This colony was largely self-sufficient. It produced its own food, it generated its own income, and it lived outside of what would be called normal society. Because the people in the colony had to. Because as lepers, they belonged to what Hindus would call a certain caste. It's a Hindu religious belief that became a cultural system in the country. And in that system, people were called Sudras or Dalits, or more commonly, untouchables. Before the colony, they lived on the streets, they lived in the slums, they lived in close proximity to people who were of higher status, of higher caste. But for the higher castes, for the people with power, these people were untouchables. They could not be approached. The people with power, they heard the cries of the untouchables, they saw the affliction and the poverty. They knew, and they did nothing. His journey also probably seemed endless. He too left a city, but not on a bus, and probably not even in the sun. Killers tend to travel by darkness. The place faded behind him that he was leaving, the palace, the city's outskirts growing more and more sparse around him until they gave way completely to the Egyptian countryside. Moses' journey, it led him to Midian. It led him to a well and to a wife and ultimately to a mountain as he was tending the flocks of his father-in-law. And I bet that he thought that he'd found his destination at that point. A steady job, a good family, a quiet and a peaceful life. And then comes Exodus 3. Then comes the burning bush. And the God who speaks out of the burning bush sends Moses away on the next leg of his journey. His destination, he never could have guessed, was right back where he started. Back to a colony of untouchables called Israel. A people who were overworked and overburdened and overlooked by their ruling class. But not by their God. And that's the point of Exodus 3. That's the real miracle of the burning bush story. See, to understand it, you got to step back two verses to the end of Exodus 2. Listen. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. He heard. God remembered. God saw, and God knew. But unlike the people in the upper caste, God did something about it. He did something. That's what the story of the burning bush tells us. I mean, you know something about the book of Exodus already. You know where this story is headed. You know where it's going. You know that God is going to free this people from oppression. You know that it's a God who has chosen Israel, but you also know that Israel is in no way worthy of what God has done for her. Or of what God was going to do. They prove that in the golden calf. After that incident, you know what God says to him? He says, I'll send an angel with you, but I'm not going, because if I go, I'll destroy you. Why would God destroy Israel? Because sinners are unapproachable by a holy God. But Exodus 3 is in the Bible. Exodus 3 is in there because even though God is unapproachable, he approaches us. See, in Exodus 3, we find out that he's even unapproachable by Moses. Take off your sandals. The place that you're standing is holy ground. People can't approach God, but God approaches them because he knows, because he hears his people. He sees their suffering. God knows, and he does something about it. Back goes Moses to Egypt. You know the story. I went to that leper colony as an observer. I did nothing for them. Moses went as a deliverer, but only because he didn't go alone. He didn't go by himself. Only because the God who approaches went with him. The God who approaches came to free his people from their captivity. And that's just the beginning. Because we've all got a little bit of Israel in us. We are all prone to their same sin. We're all prone to wander. We're all prone to get off track and to veer off the path. We're kind of like a dog who's being walked and sees a squirrel who's trying to follow their master, right? Squirrel! You've probably seen. Anyway. Before you know it, we've forgotten all about what we were doing and who we were following, and we're off following this temptation to sin that's just going to run up the tree and be totally unsatisfying to us, except it's not that innocent, is it? It's not as innocent as a dog chasing a squirrel. It is exchanging the truth of God for the lies of sin. And it's that sin that makes us approachable to God. Because, see, we've also got a little bit of that upper caste in all of us, too, don't we? You know why the lepers had to exist in that colony? It's because the people who could do something didn't. Chose not to. That's what human beings do to each other. Randall Jarrell, he's a former poet laureate of the United States, he says it this way. He said, most of us know that now that Rousseau was wrong, that man, when you knock his chains off, sets up the death camps. Last century has taught us the cruelty that human beings, all human beings, including us in this room, the cruelty that all of us are capable of toward our fellow human beings, whether it's through commission or omission, whether it's through something that we do or something that we choose not to do. I mean, is it any wonder that we're unapproachable to a holy God? Is it any wonder that we're untouchable? I don't really know what his journey was like, at least not the beginning of it. Behind him was a heavenly city, and behind him was a throne, and before him was the little town of Bethlehem. Before him was a manger. See, the unapproachable God approaches us. Approaches untouchables on Christmas Eve, a colony of sinners, and still he comes. As he grew up, he would have fixed his eyes frequently on the Galilean countryside, and all around him was this colony of untouchables, people who had sinned and fall short of the glory of God, people like us, people who did terrible things to each other, and people who at their core were broken and in need of a Savior. Jesus heard the pleading words of the poor and the sick. He saw the sin and the brokenness and the cruelty and the suffering of the people, and Jesus knew. And here's where we understand what that means most fully. Isaiah 53:3, if you read it in your Bible, is usually translated something like a man of sorrow acquainted with grief. Acquainted with grief, but it's actually the same word. A man of sorrow knowing grief. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer in a world that is broken by sin. He knows what it's like to lose a family member. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by the ones you love. He knows because he didn't watch from a distance as an unapproachable God could. But he doesn't. He chooses to come. He knows because he enters into our suffering and he takes our suffering on himself. He knows suffering because he suffered. He He knows because he suffered at the hands of those he came to save. He suffered the consequences of sin for us. He suffered so that we could be forgiven. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. On him was the punishment that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. He wasn't just an observer. He wasn't just a deliverer. He was a savior. He is a savior. And suddenly, the unapproachable God becomes very approachable because he approaches us. Because he reaches out and touches us in the waters of holy baptism. He reaches out and touches you and me, we who are untouchables. He reaches out and touches us today. He reaches out and literally touches you on your tongue today, in the body and blood, in with and under the wafer and the wine. And that means that despite your sin and despite your brokenness and despite the fact that you are unworthy and untouchable, God approaches you because he loves you. Jesus' death means that your isolation is over and you're invited into a relationship with the holy God who approaches you again and again and again. See, forgiveness is not the end goal of faith. Forgiveness is the beginning of a relationship with the almighty and unapproachable God himself. We see that in Exodus 3 when God approaches Moses. He tells him his name. That's the thing we always think of when we think of Exodus 3. He tells him his name. He shares himself with Moses and with Israel. He shares himself with us this morning, his very body and blood, promising us that we are his and that we no longer need to live in the colony. One day the colony itself will be gone and the untouchables, us, our dwelling place, will be with God. We will be his people, and God himself will be our God. No more unapproachability, because there will be no more distance caused by sin. Only the close relationship that's created by grace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.